Omsang Saraswati Namaha. On page 72, Ataha Urgala Stotram, the praise that unfastens the bolt. So here we are, we're about to open the doors into the secret of the Divine Mother. And these doors are very well sealed and guarded and protected. They've got a deadbolt latch, which is this argal, this bolt. And we're going to open up the bolt so that we can unlock the door, enter into the secret. We've already adorned our suit of armor. No other vibration can permeate our armor. We are protected. We're going to open up the bolt so that we can open the doors into the secret. Om, presenting the respected mantras of the praise that unfastens the bolt. The consciousness that pervades all is the seer, Anushtup 32 syllables and verses the meter. The respected great goddess of true wealth is the deity. For the satisfaction of the respected mother of the universe, this appendage of the 700 verses is applied in recitation. Om, we bow to the goddess who tears apart thought, Markandeya said. Om, she who conquers over all auspicious, the remover of darkness, the excellent one beyond time, the bearer of the skulls of impure thought, the reliever of difficulties, loving forgiveness, supporter of the universe, oblations of I am one with God, oblations of ancestral praise, to you we bow. Conqueror, O goddess, slayer of passion and anger. Conquer, reliever of the troubles of all existence. Conquer, O goddess who pervades this all, the dark night of egotism, we bow to you. To you who defeated too much and too little, giver of the blessing to the creative capacity, we bow. Give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. So here the refrain is a continual praise. Give us your form. Let us reflect the form, the appearance of the Divine Mother entirely in our every action, in our every thought. Give us victory. Let us conquer this small little egotism, this selfish self, and let us give us victory over that selfishness. Give us welfare and remove from us all hostility. Fill us, our worlds full of peace. Give us a world of peace, a consciousness filled with peace. Every perception will radiate peace. To you who caused the destruction of the great ego, giver of happiness to devotees, we bow. Give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. To you who slew the seed of desire, O goddess, destroyer of passion and anger, give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. Slayer of self-conceit, self-deprecation, and sinful eyes, give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. All revere your lotus feet, O goddess, giver of all that is beautiful, give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. You of unthinkable form and activity, destroyer of all opposition, give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. For those who bow to you with devotion, you remove all distress. Give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. And here, whenever we feel devotion and bow, immediately all distress is removed by the very act of bowing. As soon as we humble ourselves before the Divine Mother, all distress evaporates instantly. For those who praise you with full devotion, O you who tear apart thought, you destroy all maladies. Give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. O goddess who tears apart thought, for those who constantly worship you with devotion, give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. Give beauty, freedom from disease. Give me supreme happiness. Give us your form. Give us victory. Give us welfare. Remove all hostility. Grant the destruction of all that is disruptive. Grant increase in strength. Give us your form. Give us victory. Give us welfare. Remove all hostility. O goddess, grant welfare, grant supreme prosperity. Give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. O Mother of the Universe, whose feet are rubbed by the crest jewels of gods and enemies alike, give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. And here we have the crest jewel, the jewel in the top of the crown, is rubbing her feet because both the gods and the Asuras are bowing down to her with every action they perform. Every action we perform is the service of Divine Mother. And remembering that, the crest jewel on top of the crown just rubs her feet through action.
What about the Asuras? Are they thinking about divinity all the time?
They are not thinking about divinity all the time, but whether they are thinking about divinity or not thinking about divinity, every activity that they manifest is the service of God. Whether they do it consciously or unconsciously, every activity that we perform, all of us, from Brahma to a blade of grass, including all the Asuras, it is the service of God. Tapasya deva devata argoyam. From tapasya. Spiritual disciplined, the gods became gods in the first place. Taposi sarvam pratishtitam. Within tapasya resides the entire creation. Tasmat, therefore, tapa, do your tapasya, srishtha, and realize the ultimate. Everyone is doing tapasya, whether they realize it or not. In tapasya resides the entire existence. So even the Asuras are doing tapasya. Many of us are doing the wrong things. And by performing the wrong action in tapasya, we learn what the right action would be. Many of us, or a few of us anyway, are doing the right things. And by that we purify so many. So here, even the gods and the Asuras are all rubbing the crest jewel in the top of their crowns on her feet. Make this person endowed with knowledge, endowed with welfare, endowed with true wealth. Give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. You who destroy the great egotism of thought, you who tear apart thought, to us who bow to you, give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. The four-faced creative capacity, Brahma, sings the praise of the four-armed energy of the Supreme Sovereign. Give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. O Goddess, Mother of the Universe, your praise is always sung by the doer of all. Give us your form. Give us victory. Give us welfare. Remove all hostility. Here, Brahma is praising her. Krishna or Vishnu is praising her. The Lord of the daughter of the Himalayas, Shiva, sings the praise of the energy of the Supreme Sovereign. Give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva are praising her constantly with every action that they perform. The husband of the energy of the rule of the pure, Indra, worships the energy of the Supreme Sovereign with pure feeling. Give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. O Goddess, with your great staff of discipline, you destroy the egotism of thought. Give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. O Goddess, Mother of the Universe, to the people who are devoted to you, you give inexpressible peace and delight. Give us your form, give us victory, give us welfare, remove all hostility. Give me a wife in harmony with my mind, who follows the changes of mind, and who can lead a family of noble birth across the difficulties of the ocean of objects and their relationships. Now here, this wife is not just an earthly wife or an earthly spouse. Here we are praising as the consciousness, singing to the goddess. You give me your form. I am consciousness, the witness of all action. You are the actor, and I am the observer. You, Shakti, become my Shakti. Consciousness is saying to nature, you be my wife. We'll be in harmony. Let my consciousness be in perfect harmony with my nature all the time. And that will lead our family across this ocean of samsara, across the ocean of worldliness, across the difficulties of the ocean of objects and the relationships, to the perfect unity of consciousness and nature. After reciting this hymn of praise, one should recite the great hymn of praise, the number of which is 700 verses, and he or she will attain to supreme perfection. Oh. Do we have any questions about how to open up the bolt? Yes, please. We are opening up the door to the secret of the Tantra. And in order to open up that door, we have to unlock it, take off the safety latch, so that the doors will be free to swing open to us. Mother says that the bolt that is keeping the door closed is the understanding that the purpose of this exercise, our prayer, is to free ourselves from hostility, to put ourselves in the greatest harmony, and to cut down the ego and the appendages of the ego. This is what allows us to open up the bolt and open up the pin and open up the doors and move into the magic of the Tantra. Tantra is magic. It's a whole new way of looking at life without selfishness. I mean, it's real magic. When we live in bondage. This is the bolt that's binding us to our selfish ways of looking at things. When we open up the bolt, we free ourselves from that bondage. We can open up the doors and enter into the magic. And the magic is about love. The magic is, how do you look at life through the eyes of love and give up our selfish attachments? So that's what the bolt and the pin are about. Same way we've covered ourselves with the suit of armor, no inimical vibration can permeate our armor. Now we are qualified to enter into the secret.
Make sense?
Are there any other questions about the bolt? Let's move on to the pin.
One of the questions about the last, very last verse.
Yes.
Now, at one time was the structure so that right after this you would chant the seventh verse?
No, but the Chandipat, the full Chandipat, is most frequently known as Sharanga Chandi, the six limbs of the Chandipat. And there are three limbs in front and three limbs in the back. The three limbs in the front are the Kavach, Bargal, and Tilakstal. That is the armor, the bolt, and the pin. Preceding, then comes, traditionally, the praise, the worship of the nine-lettered mantra, the Navarnavedi. And thereafter come the 700 verses. Thereafter comes the Navarnavedi again, and the Rahasyatraya, the three secrets at the end. The Kavach, Orgel, and Kilak in the beginning, and the three secrets at the end. These are the six limbs of the Chandi. Yes, the Ratri Shukta and the Devi Shukta. These are not part of the limbs of the Chandi. These are part of the Chandi. Right. The limbs of the Chandi are the Kavach, Orgel, and Kilak, and the three secrets. So that's why they say it and specify it in that way. Om Sang Saraswatiye Namaha. On page 80, Asaha Kilakam. Om Atya Sri Kilakamam Prasya Sivarishi Yamashtub Chanda Sri Mahasaraswati Devata Sri Jagadamba Prityasam Sapta Sati Pakanga Twain Najapi Vinyoga Om Namaschandi Gayati Markande Uvacha Om Vishu Dagad Dehaya Trivedi Divya Chakshishe Sreya Prapti Nimittaya Namaha Samartha Dharine Sarvamita Dijaniyam Mantram Nama Vikilakam Suapikshe Mama Bapnoti Satatam Japya Satvara Siddhyant Yuchata Nadini Bhaktuni Sakalanyati Ete Nasivatam Devi Sotramatre Nasidyate Namantrom Noshadam Tatra Nakinchidapi Vidyate Vina Japye Nasidyeta Sarvamucha Chanabhikam Samagranyapi Sidyante Loka Shanka Vibhangara Kritwadi Mantraya Masa Sarvame Bambitam Shivam Sotramvai Chandikaya Stu Tachigutam Chakarasa Samapirna Chapunyasya Tanyataha Viniyantranam Sovichema Malapnoti sarvami bam nasanchayam krishnayam vachaturdashyam ashtamyam vasamapita dadati pratigrinati nanyate shapasidate itaham rupena kilena mahadevena kilitam yonishthilam vidayenam nityam japati sangsputam sasidha saganhasovi kandarho jayate naram nacheva yatsatastasya vayam vati jayate napam rityu vasham yati mito moksha babat niyad jhatva parva vyakurvita nakurvano vinashyati tato gyate vasampanam idam paravya devade sobhagyadi chayat kinchid jishyate lalarajane tatsarvang tapsadena tena japyam idam sivam Shane su japyamarismin Sutre sampati ritchake Pavakye vatamagrapi Sataha parapyami vasat Aishvaryanya prasadena Subhagya rogya sampada Shatruhani paromoksha Suyase sanakinjane Om Sam Saraswati Namah. On page 80, the praise that removes the pin, Om presenting the respected mantras of the praise that removes the pin, the consciousness of infinite goodness is the seer, honest of 32 syllables to the verse is the meter, the respected great goddess of all pervading knowledge is the deity, for the satisfaction of the respected mother of the universe, this appendage of the 700 verses is applied in recitation. Om, we bow to the goddess who tears apart thought. Markandeya said, Om, pure knowledge is his body, and the three Vedas are the vision in his divine eyes. He is the cause of attaining the ultimate. We bow to him who wears the half moon of the bliss of devotion. That's Shiva. It's wearing the half moon, representing the bliss of devotion. One should understand the mantras that remove the pin. Whoever constantly recites all these mantras attains peace and security. Those who praise by means of this, O goddess, by means of the mantras of this hymn, they attain the perfection of indifference to each and every object of existence. That indifference, udhas, Das means a servant. U means circumstances, like A, U, Ma, Om. A is creation. U is preservation or circumstance or what is right now. Ma is perfection or culmination. So U means circumstances of what is. And das means the servant of what is. And that kind of udas, that uchatan siddhi, makes us indifferent to everything. That is, we are the servant of circumstances. We accept what is and try to make it a little better. Om Chandra Bindu, Chandra will mean the infinite self, and Bindu will mean the finite self, the place where I am one with God. Dharam Kuchir. Shiva is wearing the half moon representing the bliss of devotion, where the finite self is one with the infinite self. Yes, you can see the Chandra Bindu on top of the Om symbol. There's a Chandra, which is a semicircle, and a Bindu, which is the one point. The semicircle is the infinity of existence, and the one point is the oneness of God. And if you take away the rest of the Om, you have a very happy face. And you can see Shiva is wearing a happy face all the time. There is no mantra, no medicine, nor anything else known by which indifference to all can be attained without repeated application. So unfortunately, there's no pill, there's no smoke, there is no medicine, not even one mantra that you could say once. Without tapasya, we can't do it. We can't attain that kind of indifference. We're one with everything. And that's what that indifference does. It makes us one with everything. We accept everything. We become the witness with no personal attachment, or no personal agenda of our own. The great reliever, that Shiva, perfects every doubt in the world and fills all this with bliss for those who perform these mantras. He made the praise of she who tears apart, and he made it secret. There is no end of its merit, and thus he attached a restraint. So Shiva made this Chandipat. He made the praise of the goddess who tears apart all the thoughts, and he made it secret. That has many levels of meaning, meaning it's very hard to find, meaning it's very deeply concealed inside, meaning that it's not readily available to anyone who comes along just for the asking. And it's so powerful, this Chandipat is so powerful, he attached a restraint. There's some limitation, there's a condition to using these mantras effectively. And listen. Whoever, with full concentration of mind, will meditate upon all of these on the 14th and 8th days of the dark lunar fortnight, will undoubtedly attain bliss. As one gives, so in return does one receive, and by no other means is she pleased. And this is the form of the pin by which it has been bound by the great God. As you sow, so shall you reap. You will get the fruit of your karma, whether you like it or not. And this is the pin. If we do with great devotion, we will receive great fruits. If we give with a little devotion, we'll receive a little fruit. If we do it with full faith, and concentration of mind, and meditate upon these, we will undoubtedly attain bliss. The person who constantly recites clearly removes the pin and becomes an attained one. That person joins the retinue of the goddess and becomes a celestial singer. Wherever such a person may move, they are free from fear. Neither would that person be subjected to untimely death, and upon leaving his or her body, that individual attains liberation. Having understood, one should commence and practice it. By not performing, it will perish. Again, by having understood comes fulfillment. This is undertaken by those who know. All that is beautiful or any other auspicious quality seen in women is all the blessing of the divine, and therefore this goodness should be recited. Great wealth is attained for those who recite in moderate tone, and for those of higher tone it is completely fulfilled, and therefore it must be undertaken. So if we recite in moderate tone, we will get great wealth, great attainments. But if we recite in a higher tone, like the top of our lungs, it is completely fulfilled. And therefore, it must be undertaken.
Yes, yeah.
Possibly. Yes.
Sorry, what is the state that you're referring to?
Yes, yes. It means the sadhana, the tapasya, the recitation. It is completely fulfilled for those who recite in higher tone, and therefore it must be undertaken, this tapasya, this sadhana, this recitation. When the blessing of the Supreme Sovereign is welfare, health, fulfillment, the destruction of all enmity, and the ultimate liberation, why will people not sing her praise? Any reason you can think of why you shouldn't do it? And this understanding opens the pin. This understanding opens the pin so that the door is free on its hinges and we become qualified to enter. And that's why we recite the Tilak Sab, this praise which opens the pin, so that we remember just as we give, just so we will receive. And if we give in high tone, with full faith and all of our devotion, it's going to become completely fulfilled. Just by understanding this, great fulfillment is attained. Even more so by practicing. And as we refine that practice with full faith and sincerity, we certainly realize the fruit of that tapasya. Are there any questions? Yes, Pita. Yes. Constantly. As much as we can. All the time, constantly. I mean, the objective is to make the goddess the substance of our lives. Yes, please. Yes. Actually, most of the Samaveda is included in the Rig Veda. But generally, when they speak of Veda Trayi, they speak of Rig, Sama, and Yajurveda. This is Veda Trayi. Atharva Veda came later. That was the fourth Veda. Yes, please.
You know, if we leave God to the scriptures.
Yes.
One thing that's common about all of them is say, if you do this scripture, you will obtain the complete liberation.
Yes.
Whether it's the Bhagavad Gita, Guru Gita, Devi Gita, Chandi, Jiva Puja, Kali Puja, whatever. There is no other way. These mantras must be done in this other way.
Within each of the scriptures is great wisdom. And when you're able to dig into the scripture and realize the wisdom and imbibe that wisdom, inculcate that wisdom into your life, that is liberation. The very understanding, the very love affair that you have with wisdom. If you only approach from your intellect, you won't have any gain. You have to do from the intellect of love. That is the liberation. When you're in love, you forget about yourself. You only remember your beloved. That's what love is about. And if we have that love affair with God, through scripture, then you're enlightened for the amount of time that you stay in love.
But it doesn't matter what scripture.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. What matters is that you do it. This is about a love affair and about constantly reciting the litany of my beloved. Constantly remembering the beloved. It's not about an intellectual determination. It's not about being absorbed, consumed by the intellect. It's about going way beyond the intellect into your heart and opening up your heart and just letting it pour constantly. They are more powerful for certain individuals, but not for everyone. It's not like the mantra is more powerful, that certain individuals have greater propensity to be absorbed in one vibration rather than a different vibration. The mantra is more powerful for you, or for her, or for him. But that's the relationship between the individual and the mantra. All mantras have the capacity to blow your mind. The meaning of mantra, man trayate iti mantra, that which takes away the mind. That's what a mantra is. Every mantra has the capacity to take away your mind. Now, you have a relationship with this mantra, and she has a relationship with that mantra, and he has a relationship with another mantra. The mantras are all equally capable, but because of our own tendencies, our own propensities, we cultivate a greater relationship with greater depth and greater sincerity and greater attentiveness with one mantra or one scripture over the others. It brings you into a love affair, just like you chose one man of all the men you could have chosen. You didn't choose them all. What a headache would that have been? One is more than enough. And now that you have one man, you can give him your love and constantly make japa of the litany of your beloved, the praises of your beloved. In the same way, with one mantra, we can move deeper and deeper and deeper into that vibration. And pretty soon, it consumes our being. We become the mantra.
So, Tom, again, does it mean that, let's say, if I have a propensity to chant, I should not chant the Sri Puja, because, not because I don't want to do it, because I want to concentrate on one particular mantra.
There is a time for concentrating on one particular mantra, and there is a time where we study many mantras. And in each of our paths of development, we will feel when it's right and when it's appropriate for us to stop all the other ideas and just stay with one mantra. Either our guru will tell us, now it's time, or the guru within will say, now it's time. You see, when someone is very far away, we have to call them loudly so they'll hear us. But when they're very close, we can look into their eyes and they will know what our heart is saying. We can speak very silently and communicate what our heart wants to speak. So when we're starting off calling God, we call loudly. Come to us. And when she comes, it gets quieter and quieter until we just have nothing left to say. In the first instance, we say, I'm going to make as much noise as I possibly can. I'm going to ring the bell. I'm going to blow the concha. I'm going to chant these mantras at the top of my lungs until you pay attention to me. I'm going to make your life miserable until you stop whatever else you're doing and pay attention to me. Doesn't that every child say that to their mom? Yeah! They do. They'll call at the top of their lungs until mom picks them up. And then when mother picks them up, they become very quiet and comforting. And we are the same as those children, calling upon the Divine Mother to pick us up into her arms and comfort us. And then it becomes quieter and quieter and quieter. Now, there's a footnote here. There is a significant mystical tradition associated with the Kilek Stotram that mother will reveal at a certain stage in the development of an aspirant. It includes the removal of the pin by which all these mantras of the Saptashati have been bound, and the lifting of the curses that open the door to the secret. These are part of that body of doctrine of the Tantra that is generally held to be magic. And indeed, it most certainly is, but perhaps not in the ordinary sense as the public construes. In other words, people are used to listening to stories about the magic of the Tantra, thinking it's something that someone does to someone else. But actually, the magic is something we do to ourselves to color our glasses. So we look at the world through rose-colored glasses. We look at the world, the entire creation, through the spectrum of love. As a consequence, the grammatical construction of these verses is obscure, and they have been variously translated in a number of sources consulted. And this rendering attempts to come as close as possible to the spirit and theme, but the meaning will become more clear after initiation in the Utkilana and Shapavara mantras. And this we must be determined for ourselves after having experienced. And it is recommended that our most respected gurus show the way to its attainment. Unfortunately, no other intellectual explanation will be of any further value. I can't tell you how to open up your hearts. You got to do it. You got to do it yourselves. The initiation. There's a formal initiation and there's an informal initiation. Here we are proceeding through the informal initiation by explaining the magic of the Tantra and what it means to remove the curses and what it means to put on a suit of armor and pull the pin. And what it means that in as you give, so shall you receive, and in no other way is she pleased. This is the form of the pin by which all these mantras have been bound. If you approach this as an intellectual exercise, then you're going to get not much. If you approach this as a divine love affair, and you give the most you possibly can to this divine love affair, you're going to fall in love. And you know what happens when you fall in love? You stop thinking about it. It just happens as a natural response from your heart. It just defies logic. All the logic, all the intellectualism, it all goes to the winds. Suddenly, you just got to follow your heart. And it becomes the most natural thing in the world. And that's what this Tilak Stav is telling us. Get out of your head and get in your heart. Follow your heart. When I met my guru first time, I was led to meet my guru, and he lived in a series of gullies on the bank of Jamuna in Vrindavan. And I went very early in the morning, it was before sunrise, and it was just at dawn. And I followed my guide, and we went up this gully and down this gully and around and over. And I came into an ashram on the bank of the Jamuna River, and I walked in the gate, and I looked up, and he was on the veranda, the second floor. And he looked down at me. And I had known him for generations. It wasn't a new scene to me. And he said, "Oh, you've come." And I went upstairs and I bowed down and sat down on a mat on the floor in his room, and we started talking. And during the course of conversation, somebody brought me some tea, and somebody brought me a sweet, and I didn't know what was happening. And then he said, "They're just going to close the gates to the ashram. It's 10 o'clock at night." "And you better go home." And we had just sat there the entire day and half the night. And I didn't even notice that it was night. The time went by so quickly and so comfortably. The man came and guided me back to my place where I was staying. I was staying in a dharmshala, in a temple on the other side of the town. I paid 25 paisa a night, had a room with electric light bulbs. The point of the story is, next morning, early in the morning, just at dawn, I woke up, I took a bath, and my feet knew the way. And they wound up that gully and down this alley and around to the bank of the Jamuna and walked right into his ashram. My feet knew the way. I could never have charted the course. There are no maps of Vrindavan, of the gullies, of the old part of Vrindavan. But my feet knew the way. And that's what happens when we fall in love. Our feet know the way. Our heart is just pulled in a certain direction. And somehow, it's not business as usual. Things change when we fall in love. And that's what this Tilak Stav is telling us about. The magic of the Tantra. The magic of the love affair. When we really fall in love with God. And we really fall in love with life. And then suddenly, it's not about me. It's about us. Oh, that was my understanding.
When you read the scriptures, is it necessary to say aloud the sound energy and the vibrations, or you can just read it in your mind?
You can read it in your mind and learn from it, but if you recite it and you get the vibrations, it's even more. And if you recite it in Sanskrit and then read it in English and think about it and contemplate it and look for how you can apply the scriptures to your life. What is the relevance of this scripture? Why am I studying this? Why were these words were written down 3,000 years ago? Why are they important to me today in my circumstance? If we think about what it might mean to me, not just as a historical document, and not just as an intellectual exercise, not just as a recitation of philosophy, but in my life, what is this love affair about? To me, it's about everything I touch in life. Whether it be translating a book, or digging a ditch, or chanting the Chandipat. To me, they're all opportunities to really demonstrate the sincerity of my love. And I remember when you and Ashish were helping me rake the bottom of the pond. It was a summer about 8 or 9 years ago. And we were down in that pond, and it must have been 115 degrees down there. And we were raking out every little pebble because Bhuvananda was going to come and inspect it. You remember that? And we were raking, and no one would have paid us to do that. There was no way that anyone could have thought that intelligent people like ourselves would go down into a hole in the middle of the summer, in a hot summer day, with a rake, pull out every little pebble because Bhuvananda was going to come. But we did it. And that was the way we were demonstrating the sincerity of our love, by making the pond that everybody's enjoying today to go swimming in. And it happened. Thanks to moving on. Yeah, we tried. That's right. In the same way, everything we do can be that opportunity. If we keep that bottle, if we keep that idea, if we constantly recite, if we continually recite the litany of the praise of our beloved. I am doing this because I'm in love. Whatever it is that we're doing, I am doing this because I am in love. That's why all of us are doing all that we're doing. And when we understand that, then we do it even more, with more vigor and more strength and more energy and more bhava. We keep focused on the love. I think that's what the Tilak Stav is going to tell us. And as we study every scripture, we can find that kind of a message inside it. How does it apply to my life today? What could I do differently so I could live with God? Do we have any other questions? Yes, please.
If you say that the mantra is very loud, but if you don't know the meaning of what it says,
as we recite, we're going to want to know the meaning. We're going to study the meaning. We will obviously want to learn more. When the child begins to learn the alphabet, they don't understand all the meanings. But as they learn more and more, as they recite, they want to learn more. And suddenly they learn to use the dictionary. And then they can look up the meaning. Suddenly, you come to satsang and you ask your guru, what is the meaning? And suddenly, we have a newfound interest to explore more. So definitely, reciting is the first step. Understanding is the next step. And then putting it into practice is the next step. Shravanam, mananam, nididhasam. We hear it, we contemplate it, and then we deeply meditate. Shravanam, mananam, nididhasam. Yes?
You know, in this case, you know, heartbeat also down the way to go, far down the road that get here. And we all got here, and it is because we fell in love also. Fell in love. But the love came first, and then Ma said, now, do some tapasya. Do these scriptures. We started doing these scriptures first. I mean, after we fell in love, first was the love, and then came the scriptures. Does it seem like it's backwards?
Well, I don't quite agree with you. I think at first it was a little bit of curiosity. I'm going to explore a little bit more about what's going on here. Where are these people going next? You didn't just go home and sell all your property and sell all your business and your practice and move to California. You first got in your car and you followed us to the next city. I'm going to explore a little more. So there was that curiosity. There was an inspiration. And then there was a learning. And then you start practicing. And then you said, I want to refine this practice. I don't need that business anymore. I don't need a house in Texas if I'm going to do sadhana in California. So pratamam shailapapricha, dvitiyam brahmacharini, tritiyam chandakam kriti kushmam deti chaturthakam. First was the goddess of inspiration. The second was the goddess of learning. Third was the goddess of practice. Fourth was the goddess of refinement. And that's how the love affair gets cultivated. You got inspired to come a little closer and learn a little more. And then as you learn more, you love more. So you practice more. And as you practice more, you feel more. So you love a little more. And the sincerity and intensity grows. Just like every other relationship. Except there's a difference here. We've got the secret of how to keep the honeymoon alive. How to keep the inspiration growing. Not hard to fall in love. Keeping the honeymoon alive. It's not hard to fall in love. It's even easier to fall in like a lot. But to stay there is the trick. That's where it really takes a system. Constantly reciting. Constantly reinforcing the privilege of doing the sadhana. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. That's enough. Om Sarva Sarasati Namah Shivaya.